And welcome in to a new year, a new decade of the Bama Baseline Podcast. It's 2020. We're back with you. We've missed some conference games, but we're going to round those up for you guys. Recap everything that happened since we last spoke. And we'll also get you ready for the biggest game we've had in quite some time. We were talking before the show. This matchup against Auburn is going to be huge for us, for Auburn, for SEC basketball, everyone involved. Is really looking forward to this game. And I can't wait to get your guys' thoughts heading into it. Recording this on a Monday. We'll try to get it up tonight so our listeners have maximum listening hours before the Auburn game. Listen to it once, listen to it twice, three times even before the game starts on Wednesday. But guys, I want to introduce you back into the show. I'm James Fletcher.
I'm Luke Ratliff.
I'm Trevin Fiorano. Well, guys, I've had a good break. I've had a good break of Bama basketball. I just want to say that. I've actually enjoyed the basketball that I've seen our team play with lately.
It's been fun.
It's been fun.
I think we can agree.
It's been fun.
What was it, 5-2 over the last seven?
Yes.
Yeah, pretty good. Pretty good.
Pretty dang good.
I've enjoyed it. Yeah, I went to Lexington to Rupp for the game against Kentucky. That could have went better. But still, overall, looking 5-2 over the last seven, I'll take it.
Yeah, and before we get to that Kentucky game, let's go ahead and we'll mainly focus on these conference games that we've played since we last spoke. First, we want to get into the Florida game here, and it was a tough one to take. Big first half lead. Alabama went up, had a 20-point lead at one point in the game. Ended up 21 even, thank you, Luke. But by halftime, it was down to Alabama led 46-32, so a 14-point lead. They gave that up in the second half, went to overtime, then to double overtime, and eventually Florida won it 104-98. But what were your thoughts? We'll split this up into two halves here because it really was a game,
it's a tale
of two halves. And I want to get your thoughts on the first half. What were you thinking going into halftime?
Oh, dang. Those boys was swinging, and they were slinging that thing, boy. That ball was going into the hole. I couldn't complain. They were shooting very well. Shots looked like it was amazing. I thought, like, dang, we're about to start this conference off with an easy, easy win. I was saying that's probably the best half of basketball I've seen in about 3 years here.
Luke, I don't know if you just noticed there, but Trevin came in today with a do-rag. He's got the Tupac shirt on, and his entire vocabulary just changed in that one sentence to start off the new year on Bama Baseline.
I'm here for it.
I want to get your thoughts on the first half of that game.
I'm telling you, like, someone asked me on Twitter, they said, is that first half against Florida, is that the best first half of basketball, the best half of basketball you've seen from Alabama? And I'm like, you know, I was thinking, and if I had to rank three of them, it would be, you know, number one, of course, the 2018 SEC tournament second half against Auburn.
Mm-hmm.
That first half against Florida this year, and then the second half against Florida a couple years ago when they played in the O-Dome 2 years ago. But that's what, when you look at what Coach Oates wants to do with his team, the first half of that Florida game, and I hate that we're talking about a half here. The first half of that Florida game is what he's envisioning. You know, it's just as fast as things were going, and you talk about playing fast all the time, but playing fast and efficiently, taking, you know, shots at that are maximum percentage shots, right? Layups and three-pointers, right?
Yeah.
You talk about that a lot, but that's a peek into what this team is sort of evolving into as the season goes on. And I think you can look at that first half of basketball, you can look at, we're going to talk about it in a second, the game against Mississippi State, and you can say, you know, you can see where this team is going, and you can see this is a completely different team than what they started out with at the beginning of the year.
Yeah, it is, and I look at this, and you're right, it is difficult that we're having to talk about this half by half, but I want to split it up, not even just the first half. I think it was really the first 18 or so minutes. Because we saw those last 2 minutes of that first half, that's when I started to get a little bit wary of what was going on. The first 18 minutes, though, they came out, they were shooting the ball well, they were moving the ball on offense defensively. Florida had no answers to what Alabama was doing. And we saw it translate both ends of the floor, Alabama running up and down, getting turnovers, getting easy transition points. They were really scoring at will for much of that first half. But then you saw this little flip where Florida came out. They scored 6 quick points to end the half, cut it down. It was at 20 with a couple minutes left, and it got down to 14 at halftime. Mm-hmm. And that little momentum swing, I know it's a minor thing to a lot of people, just 2 shots, you know, 2 made threes. But it was huge being in their home gym and being able to swing that momentum going into halftime, come back out, the fans re-energized for the second half and ready to go. But moving on to the second half, it really was a flip, a complete 180. Foul trouble for Alabama, really an issue. That foul trouble then led to a slower pace. They kind of struggled to keep the pace that they were playing with the efficiency that they had played with previously in the first half. It got more difficult to get those shots to fall because you're no longer in a rhythm. Defensively, you start losing your man when you're having to come back in transition as much as they were, and things really just fell apart quickly on them.
You know, and I think, too, the second half of that Florida game, that's sort of the Florida team that we were expecting.
All year.
You know, all year long. Well, especially we were expecting to come out in the first half to see. And they looked more in rhythm in the second half. They played great perimeter defense. They played great defense altogether in the half court, especially on the interior. Kerry Blackshear, you know, he played as well as he could in the second half. But here, I want to bring light to something right quick. He played 8 minutes in the end of regulation and 2 overtime periods with 4 fouls. Now, I don't know about you guys, but you know what I mean? When somebody plays 18 minutes with 4 fouls, something's fishy. Something's fishy.
And you did see things opened up for him a lot once our big men fouled out.
Yeah.
Galen Smith out. Javian Davis out.
Herb
Jones fouls out. And I don't know how public this has been, but Alex Reese was struggling with an illness in the overtime periods. Apparently, he caught a cramp, went back to the locker room, started throwing up, and then from that point on, he was unavailable for the rest of the day. So to lose all the big men you had left,
yeah.
I mean, we've had enough injuries as it is, but to lose all of them that were left on the roster even, and for an 8-man rotation to be down three players,
yeah.
and then Alex Reese to get sick, it's hard to bounce back from that. But Trevin, what did you think in the second half?
So there? Second half, I think the first half, you know, first SEC game, first taste, you know, you're at home, emotions are high, you're ready to go. Christmas just ended, you know, you got your presents, you're feeling all good, you're feeling all happy. I feel like that Florida came out and they just were just like, all right, we got this. And so they played that way, but Alabama said, no, we're actually a real team. Like, take us seriously. Mm-hmm. Don't let this non-conference record fool you. And then they got to the second half, and that coach got in there, and it was just like, all right, y'all let them play around too long. Y'all want to start playing now?
Exactly.
And then they just came out there, and they was just like, all right, we're going to play Florida basketball. We're going to do what we need to do. And like you said, I think it was great for them. Like, even if it wasn't planned, it was smart of them to go ahead and attack the big man attack where they have, like, where your opponent has deficiencies. That was a very smart game plan. And then, they cut it down little by little, which is what you're supposed to do when leads aren't that big. You just take little chunks, little runs here and there, and just get that score down as much as you can. And when they went to overtime, first overtime, they couldn't get it done. Mm-hmm. But by second overtime, we're tired, we're undersized, we're undermanned, we're on the road.
It just wasn't meant to be.
It happens.
And I think, too, that Florida game showed you just how limited this Alabama team is, except with all the injuries and how deep they can go in the game, you know, as far as rotation goes.
Yeah, and it really, I think what it might, maybe it should have been an indicator for what was to come in these next few games that we'll talk about in a moment here, but Alabama in the first half out-rebounded Florida, but by the end of it, with everyone out, with fouls,
they
sickness, they end up beating us by 6 in the rebound battle complete 180. Kerry Blackshear, of course, 16 rebounds by the end of the game. He was really dominant on the boards. Scotty Lewis, who struggled in his freshman season, he had 15 and 10, a breakout performance against us. But I want to move forward and talk about this Mississippi State game real quick.
That was a beauty.
First home game in conference for Alabama. And how shocked were you, Alabama's dominance down low?
Statistically, I think, don't take this with a grain of salt, right? But I think Mississippi State was the best offensive rebounding team in the country. This game. Am I wrong here?
They had three guys who over the past, I can't remember the number of games, but after, through the past so many number of games, they had three guys averaging more than five offensive rebounds a game.
Yeah, and, you know, Alabama went and just hosed them on the boards. Just hosed them on the rebound.
Clinic.
And you talk about, this is one thing with Mississippi State. Anytime we play the Mississippi schools, Galen Smith just comes.
He away. Does.
It's like I think I think Galen Smith against the Mississippi schools and Galen Smith in March is sort of comparable to Shaquille O'Neal in 2002. There's nothing. He's going to beat you up, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Right.
You know. Yeah. He lives.
He had Perry all night long. It was beautiful.
You know, Reggie Perry too. He fouled out with 6:30 something to go, I believe.
Yes, he did, and that was big.
Where's Perry? Huh?
Where's Perry? Yeah.
That was what I was thinking all game. Where's Perry?
That was a fun game though, and you seen, you know, that's a complete game by Alabama. You seen them at the end of the game. Well, you seen this too against Richmond. We didn't really talk about it, but against Richmond, Alabama finished the game. The last four minutes of the game, they finished. They pushed through to the end and didn't let up and played their game and, you know, bled the clock when they needed to and really pushed the envelope when they should.
Yeah,
that's a sign that this team is growing. This team is, you know, even though the record doesn't reflect it, this team is miles ahead of where it was, even at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, and big for this game, Kyra Lewis gets his first hard hat of the season. He was really happy after the game, celebrating in the locker room. A script flip from the Florida game, they had three guys foul out, Iverson, Molinar, Nick Witherspoon. It was a big loss for them. He had 20 points in the game. And then, of course, we mentioned Reggie Perry, probably their best player talent-wise on the roster. But really impressed. A 90-69 victory against Mississippi State.
Nice.
At home, first one of the season in conference.
Shout out to Alex Reese.
Alex Reese.
Alex Reese. Grown man.
I'll ask you guys. Did you know he could jump like that?
No. I did not. I really didn't.
Did you know, Luke, that he could jump? Alex Reese could jump like that.
Fifth. I plead the fifth.
I did not.
I'll tell you, on the way out.
You've been in the practices.
I've been in practices. He has never done anything like he did two games in a row now.
He's done it. That hip getting worked, dude. That hip's starting to work now.
I mean, they tell us he's going to need an off-season procedure for his hip. They say he's going to play through it. He's going to be fine. And then all of a sudden, here he comes. He's dunking on everybody, blocking shots out of bounds. Incredible performance by Alex Reese. And walking out of the media room, Coach Nate Oates, on his way out the door, unnamed media member turns to Coach and he says, "Did you know Alex Reese could jump like that?" Oates peeks back around the corner and says, "No." And he walks out, never to be seen again.
Well, good old Nate Oates.
I love this
good
guy.
Good old Nate Oates.
This Nate Oates guy is pretty good.
Hey, look, John Petty, career day, very nice job. Well done. Shout out to the whole team. It looked like, I can't even single out one person. The whole team just played well. The crowd energy was just moving them. I have nothing bad to say about that performance. Nothing bad.
Nothing at all.
Nothing at all. That's a very rare statement from me, Luke. I have nothing to complain about.
That's what we were talking about before the show started. Trevin came in and said, no complaints. Very few complaints.
They shot 70.
I was worried.
They hit 70 from free throw. Yeah, I can't complain about that. They hit 40 from the three-point line. They hit about 50 from the field goal. They had 42. Like, what can I complain about, right?
You know, we were worried about this before the show because Trevin says he has very little complaint about. We're like, well, where are we going to talk about
what,
on the show now?
What is the show going to be for the next hour?
I got nothing right now. I got nothing.
Well, maybe you'll have something to talk about here because we're going to move ahead to this Kentucky game. Where they did not shoot 40% from three. They did not shoot 70% from the line. But I want to hit a highlight before we dive in.
Speak on it.
John Petty blocking four shots in this game. Something I asked him about in availability a few weeks ago. Oates had mentioned as a shooter, John Petty has a special insight to playing defense. And so I asked Petty about it. He said, knowing what the shooter wants allows him to take away that opportunity. So he's very good, especially since he's bought in Nate Oates' system, at getting underneath shooters, getting his hand in there, and it really paid off in this game. Four block shots.
Using an
outstanding performance from a guard.
He's starting to use his strength to mask his weaknesses.
He is.
And that's very smart of him. You know, I wish he could have shot a little bit better from the three-point line on the road, but I mean, John Petty on the road, you know, 3-for-8. I think that's a great step for him compared to what he's doing last season. I think he's, like you said, he's definitely bought into the system more. I definitely see him being more aggressive also when he has the ball, and I'm honestly loving the new John Petty that's playing right now.
Well, you know, we've seen this, we've talked about before on the show, John Petty has grown as a player defensively.
Oh, yes.
And
no doubt about it.
You're seeing it now, how John, as a ball handler, and as, you know, creating his own shots.
Right.
And not just catch and shoot.
Right.
How he's grown through this from last season to this season.
He's looking NBA ready right now.
He's close.
He's getting there.
I can confirm that teams have looked at him.
Second round draft.
They have looked at him.
Second round.
In recent weeks.
I will say this. I will confirm. Tayshaun Prince is now scouting for the Memphis Grizzlies.
He has been. He's in the front office.
Tayshaun Prince was at Coleman Coliseum against Mississippi State.
And we're going to see the entire NBA in Coleman Coliseum on Wednesday.
The Mississippi State game surprised me a little bit. There were quite a few scouts there to watch that matchup. Get to see Reggie Perry, get to see Robert Woodard, Nick Witherspoon, as well as all the Alabama guys who they were interested in. So we're going to have NBA scouts in Coleman Coliseum for a large part of the season.
Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if we had three guys possibly taken with one undrafted that managed to make a roster. I'm not going to say who they are, but that's my prediction.
We're saving that for our NBA draft show, of course.
Of course. I'm not going to say that.
But let's get back to this Kentucky game.
Sorry.
Of course, you know, I mean, result in hand, Alabama lost, but single digits to Kentucky in Rupp Arena. As someone who was there, it just looked, you know, I feel like in that game, in the first half defensively, we played the game. Alabama played the game that they needed to, right? You know, their defensive game plan was pretty solid. You know, they dared Nick Richards to take the 18-foot jump shot, which statistically he is not going to make much, but he made six or seven of them in a row. But, you know, it's just one of those days where Kentucky could not miss, it seemed like. Especially
when it mattered,
they could not miss. Like
Higgins, who's not a great shooter, had a really good day. For them, so
yeah, and on
you
the
see that quickly hasn't done anything all year.
Well, quickly is a good shooter. That's
he is, but as a team, they have not shot well. And then for quickly to go out there and hit 5 of 6 is
and then you get, then like you know couple that with Alabama having their worst 3-point shooting performance since Rhode Island.
You know, 19%.
Bowden going
And here's what I'll say. It's 0-for-6 from 3, 2-for-11 from the field. And I think that the good news, if you want to take away from this, the worst performance of the day, I think, by far, was Beetle Bolton. And I also don't think there's any player on this roster who can rebound quicker and with more energy than Beetle Bowl. And that's important going into this Auburn game.
And you know,
I know he's mad about that 0-6. He might drop 5-5.
Well,
next
you know,
game.
And you watch that game. I was watching that game, and on defense, Beetle played great.
Amazing.
Beetle's face.
He was in everybody's
so
face.
Good. Like James said, rebounding, getting the ball out as quickly as possible. Nobody on the team is better than him at that, I don't think. But you know, it's just the shots weren't falling, and that's the 4-for-20. Was it 4-for-21?
Yes, 4-for-21. Petty had three of them.
Only 12 free throws taken in the game. Also, not a good low sample size. You know, you're not going to take a lot of free throws at Rupp Arena, but you got to convert when you get there, and they didn't. But they also didn't have their best free throw shooters at the line much of the game when they were there.
Yeah, and I'll say this before we end the segment. I think I forget where I seen this ad or else I credit it, but if both teams, with the amount of shots they took from three, if both teams shot their season average from three, I think we won by – I forget where I seen this, though. I think we would have won by 10 statistically. But it's just, you know – it's one of those things. One of those games.
We shot. I think the one positive we can take away from this, right, that we can look at with this game. It's like you said, this was probably our worst shooting performance since Rhode Island. We only lost by 9 points. We shot 19% from the 3-point line.
Against number 4 Kentucky
and
Rupp Arena.
Number 4 14 Kentucky in Rupp Arena, and we only lost by 9 points. We outshot them 19 times. We had 19 more shots than Kentucky did. I think that is a huge positive in just saying that, hey, this was just one of those nights the ball just didn't go in.
Yeah.
And that just happens in Rupp Arena. It's one of the most intimidating places to play in all of college basketball. I think top 5, in my personal opinion. So, you know, I'm taking this game with a grain of salt. It's motivation for them moving forward. They're coming back home against who else better to rebound against than a undefeated Auburn team.
The number 4 Auburn Tigers.
You just love to beat that can that has won what once in 5 years in Coleman Coliseum?
Twice?
Is it twice?
I think it's twice.
I think
16
they've won.
And 18.
Okay.
16 and 19, excuse me.
All right. So they've won twice in about 5 years here in Coleman Coliseum. I think we have a great chance of upsetting the Auburn
Tigers.
Of
course. And we'll talk about that more next.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that. We might move that to the last segment just to leave it as a cliffhanger, but when we come back, we have a list, or we might just go
who
ahead.
Knows? We might just
might just throw in our favorite things that happened over the break. But nonetheless, we'll be back with Bama Baseline.
The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.
Welcome back to the Bama Baseline podcast. We're here in the Bama Baseline studios. It's a mess. There's wires everywhere. It's always just things are falling apart in here.
We do have a green screen, though.
Have a green screen.
We can now superimpose Trevin wherever we want.
Yeah, we would. You know, for those of you listening on podcast,
we don't have a visual platform.
I love you. We have a green screen in the studio now. So that'll turn out helpful someday. I don't know why. But, you know, guys, I want to talk about something.
What's up?
What happened to you over break? Because I got some things that happened over break that I want to talk about.
Okay.
I'll swing it myself then.
I thought you still had more to say.
Waiting for the
cue.
All right.
What, James?
All right, I'll go first here.
Usual rotation, you know.
So I went to the Cotton Bowl, the Goodyear Cotton Bowl in Dallas.
That's disappointing.
It was a fun time.
I'll say this. I think it's a shame, and we don't talk about football in this podcast because we have better things to talk about.
But, that is true.
But it's a shame that the Cotton Bowl isn't played at the Cotton Bowl.
Yeah, that really doesn't.
I would agree with you if it wasn't pouring rain the day that the Cotton Bowl was held this year.
But it's part of the tradition. If you're going to be in the Cotton Bowl, I want to play at the Cotton Bowl.
No, you're not playing the Rose Bowl at the Los Angeles Coliseum.
My main gripe isn't with the location. It's with the day of the game.
New Year's?
Why am I there on December 28th when it's a New Year's Six Bowl?
I mean, because it was playoff day, wasn't it?
It was playoff day, but the Cotton Bowl was not a playoff game.
You moved the games because it's a playoff day. You have to load up the playoff day.
Well, the reason they did it is because they wanted it on Saturday for travel reasons, for the maximum attendance in the stadium. And I get that, but don't tell me it's the New Year's Six Bowl if it's not on the New Year's.
Well, I mean, it's... I mean, like, that whole sequence of days is basically New Year's. Like, it's just all a blur. Okay? It really, it's just all a blur.
From Christmas to New Year's.
From Christmas to New Year's, the days don't matter. You lose track. It's 1 week that you basically just have to say, all right, we're still alive.
Yeah.
And then you just make it to New Year's Day, and then you're like, crap, I got to go back to work. That is basically the whole sequence that is of that New Year's. Week. So basically, it is a New Year's Bowl, but it's, I mean, like, it's just not on the actual day.
Yeah.
You know,
well, regardless, it still was a fun time. Spirit. The city of Memphis really took over Dallas. By my estimation, millions of Memphians, but at least tens of thousands, if we're being on the light side.
You know, I enjoy it whenever the citizens of Memphis take over somewhere else. It's sort of
it's a good time.
Well, we're looking at, you know,
we really do have
fun. Know if you've been on social media recently. It's like LSU fans have taken over Bourbon Street in New Orleans this week.
They have.
And I've enjoyed every video I've seen from down there. It's just
interesting to me.
I feel the same about Memphis.
And I feel with the Bourbon Street thing, it's a little bit odd to me that they have taken over Bourbon Street, because I think of if I was attending a sporting event of that magnitude, say it was held in Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they're not going to host it at Legion Field, but let's say they did.
Building a new stadium coming soon, Legion Field. 2021.
And so say Alabama is competing. Now, am I going to get a hotel in Birmingham for a week
ahead
of the game, or am I driving up there the day of the game?
I'm going homewood.
I won't. Well, we're not talking about
give
you,
me Mountain
Trevin.
Brook. Give me Mountain Brook.
We're not talking about you, Trevin. But I'm not getting a hotel to be in that downtown scene the whole week. But these LSU fans, we know they enjoy their alcohol, apparently enough to buy a hotel for a full week.
Exactly.
I mean, New Orleans is a party town. I mean, you get your hotel for a week, you party for a week, go to the game, party for a week afterwards, go back to Baton Rouge, have fun.
Yeah,
guys.
Basically, an hour drive, isn't it?
Guys, I want to talk about something right quick.
All
right. Going back to hoops.
Yes.
Conference action here. Before conference play, going on around the conference, South Carolina lost to Stetson a hat. A hat.
They did.
They did that. That's a real thing that happened in 2020.
A Frank Martin-led team.
Frank Martin. Now, listen, those who know me know I have a long-running beef with Frank Martin. And I'm honestly, I'm scared. A little backstory here. Over the summer of last year, when Alabama got Juwan Gary to commit from Columbia, South Carolina. He was basically a South Carolina silent commit, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And we just swooped in the 11th hour, and he signed with Alabama. And I'm telling you, Frank Martin and that entire South Carolina coaching staff was so mad online over it. And I engaged with him in it, and there was a bunch of stuff that went down. Words were said. And long story short, he blocked me online, and... I've been ruining the day that I see Frank Martin. I have to see him in person, which I will this season in Coleman Coliseum, and I'm scared to death. But they lost to Stetson.
What you really don't want is for him to pull up with any of his former players.
Brother,
Chris Silva, Kenyon Martin, any of those guys. Want to see them. Pull up to the game.
I'm scared. I'm honestly scared.
I gotta do right now. I'm not even gonna lie. I gotta do. I want to see Kenyon Martin come to Coleman Coliseum, holding up a photo of Luke, just walking around. Hey, have you seen this man?
I'm so scared to death. Like Frank Martin's got that look about him, anyways. Where he's just like he's ready to murder someone with his bare hands.
And it transfers to his team.
Yeah,
it does. It really does. If we're being honest, Frank Martin's facial expressions transfer directly to their play style.
Exactly.
He looks he looks like a mob boss.
I don't say that on the air. He might have to come get you.
We don't want things to happen.
He looks like what Al Pacino tries to portray in every game. Sorry.
I've got to see him this year, and I know he knows who I am because he's got that memory. He's got memory of like a serial killer, right? Mm. No, so he's like a bull elephant. He's got a memory.
Looks like Jason Statham. I'm just
so worried. Like I hope he sees me and he's like, I'm not gonna talk to you. Or like instead of like that's the best case scenario is that like he comes up to me and he's like, hey, you're awful. I'm not gonna talk to you. Instead of like the alternative is he's going to seek me out from the beginning and hurt me.
Well, the good news for you is that Chris Silva is no longer on the team.
Frankly, you would do the team a favor because I feel like if he hurts you, that's attacking a fan. The coach gets suspended. Now they're out the head coach. And we get a good game.
Do you think
he should take one for the team?
Who do you think is brave enough? Do you think Greg Sankey is brave enough to say, you know what, to tell Frank Martin to his face, you're not going to coach this week? We're going to suspend you for a little while. Do you think he's brave enough?
Sorry, you got video. Put it on Twitter.
I'm scared, but they did lose to a hat this past 2 weeks or so.
Remind him that he lost to a hat. I thought that was funny.
Remind him that he lost to a hat.
They lost a Stetson. Before you talk to me, worry about this hat that you lost.
I'll wear a Stetson to the game. That's what I do. Big cowboy hat to the game. That's all they remind him. It's like, you lost to this, right?
Well, shortly after South Carolina had a rough game against the hat, North Carolina made history. Roy Williams, after a tough start to the conference schedule, he said that his team's just not talented. He told him to the media. He said, this is the least talented team I have had. And to follow that up, they go out against Clemson, who, for those of you who don't know, North Carolina had beaten Clemson 59 consecutive times.
At home.
In Chapel Hill.
And that's not dating back to any particular point. That is an all-time. That is an all-time stat. 59-0 until...
Folks.
2020 came. I'll let Luke put on his helmet here before we
For those listening, we're wearing hard hats in the Bama Baseline Studios.
Sporting the hard hats that you can get as students at the Auburn game.
Great plug.
Coming up.
Great plug.
Everyone go out. We'll post a picture shortly after we finish recording today. But back to this dramatic moment. We all have our hard hats on now. Clemson in overtime.
In the year 2020, year of our Lord.
Defeats North Carolina on the road for the first time ever. Now 1-59.
You know what that means?
Something gave up.
You know what that means for North Carolina?
What does that mean?
Not undefeated. Against Clemson.
No longer undefeated.
You know what it was? It was the fact that they stole Tevin Mack. I think that was
Tevin
the key.
Mack, Mack did game. Have a
I
huge
think
game.
That was the key for the dub of Clemson.
That's what they needed.
They needed Tevin Mack. That was really the key.
You know what? I'll say this on the air. I love Tevin Mack. He's great. I just hate the way things ended for him here. But he played really well against North Carolina.
Yeah, I wish we had him for one more year. I would love to see what he would do.
It would have been great. But what can you do? He had a great game against Clemson. I think, you know, being back in the state of South Carolina for him has done good.
Mm-hmm.
But 1-59, Clemson is in Chapel Hill now.
I mean,
round of applause for the Clemson Tigers.
And Tevin Mack in particular, yeah. But this North Carolina team, after the game, Roy Williams calls for his own firing. I've never seen anything like 2020 Roy Williams.
He said a lot of things. You know what he said on his radio show last week? That it's the least talented team he's ever had. He called for his own firing in the press conference after the Clemson game. But you know what he hasn't said? He hasn't said into a microphone that he's sorry for being a detriment to our net ranking for the Alabama Crimson Tide. He has not apologized for that.
I'm sure it's coming because I'm serious. I've never seen anything like this. A Hall of Fame coach of the caliber of Roy Williams, he has coached at Kansas for many years. He has coached at the prestigious UNC Chapel Hill for a number of years. He was the heir to Dean Smith.
most legendary coach.
At North Carolina, he came in and he continued that dominant role that they had been on for so long. And for this year to go the way it has, and not only to the results to finish the way they have, but for him to just throw caution into the wind with all these statements, just
he's
calling out his own players,
things,
it feels like it's the end. And I hope not, for his sake. You don't want to end your career on this season. On this one, of all of them, to have this many things go wrong, you don't want a Hall of Fame career to end this way.
Mm. Oh, you hate to see it.
You really do.
You hate to see it.
Hey, he's still got two more Duke games to figure it out.
hey, they can play. They can probably get back into the tournament with those two wins.
On the other, calling the dogs and say, forget the NIT, we beat Duke. beat them twice.
On the other side, we'll have your Auburn preview here on the Bama Baseline Podcast.
The Capstone, 90.7 FM, WVUA.
Welcome back into the Bama Baseline Podcast. We've got your Auburn preview prepped and ready to go. We've been waiting for this one for quite a while. We've been studying up in the studio. We've got our basketball textbooks out.
I hate Auburn.
We've got it ready. Trevin has been reciting his chant over here. He's got it ready for Wednesday.
I hate Auburn.
And let's get into it.
I can't explain how much I hate Auburn. It's just as an institution, as a team, as a look, as their color scheme, I don't hate Auburn, the mascot. He's actually very cute. But other than that, I hate Auburn.
Well, Auburn is 15-0 coming into this game, so
that's a disgrace.
It's going to be a difficult one.
Who have they played?
Well, that's what I was about to talk about. According to Haslametrics on Twitter, Auburn hasn't played by his metrics. Forget the man's first name, but Haslametrics on Twitter. According to his metrics, Auburn hasn't played the top 50 team all year. And I think that's very, that's consistent throughout. But here's the thing. Even though they haven't played many top-tier opponents like the university has, they've won their games, guys.
They have.
They've won their games, and
the
they're
part,
15-0.
This is all I got to say, right? This is what makes me upset. Okay, so you bring up the conference games, and I already hate it, because, number one, none of their opponents have a win in conference play that they've played so far. Mississippi State, 0-2. Vandy, 0-2. Mississippi State 0-3, Georgia 0-2. They have yet to play a team that has a conference win in the SEC. And if you look at it compared team to team that we have common opponents, we do better. We just do better against common opponent teams, right? And frankly, they've had like maybe two tests the entire season. Number one was at South Alabama, which they had to walk out of there with their tails tucked between their legs.
That was a tough game.
With a real lucky win right there.
I think that was their toughest game in non-conference.
And to me, the NC State game that they got to play at home was probably their second toughest game. Other than that, I haven't seen them play anybody. No disrespect to the teams on here. I think Richmond and Furman are two very good teams.
Common opponents, right?
I think they're two very good teams, you know. But again,
Richmond, we
did better against them.
Richmond and Furman fans, if you're listening, we need your team to win.
We need your team to win.
Shout out to those Furman fans that made the trip down. To Tuscaloosa.
So, like,
just throwback to that.
I think they're so overrated. I really do. Especially at number, like, they're top 10.
They're number four in
the AP poll. The only reason they're top four, I feel like they got the UCF syndrome, where they're just like, oh, they haven't lost yet. Let's just put them up.
Well, it's hard to argue, too. This is what's so weird about it, the successful Auburn teams of the past, and when I say successful, I mean the past 2 years, because I believe that's all they have, right?
Yes.
Dating back to like the early 2000s.
That's not named
90s.
Charles Barkley.
Right. I'm thinking like, Auburn basketball, the last time they were really at this level of success was that 99 team, I believe it was, the late 90s, early 2000s, when they had a couple years of sustained success. But it's different this time. And this team, unlike the past 2 years, not really shooting that well from beyond the arc. Not really. But they're, I mean, I don't know what it is. Samir Dowdy, who is just, he's turned it up this year. I can't explain why or how.
No one can, really.
I really can't. Austin Wiley's playing very well. He's shooting okay from the free.
Finally got off suspension. He's been on suspension all four years of college.
For Wiley, it's been finding his role. Yeah. That's been the mantra for him for his entire time at Auburn, and it seems like he's finally found it.
Mm-hmm. I don't think this is me being very complimentary of the Auburn Tigers. You won't hear it much. But I don't think there's a team in the country that plays as well to their strengths, that recognizes what they're good at and plays to it, as well as Auburn. I said that earlier in the year, too. I believe that after they beat Richmond in that tournament in Brooklyn, they understand that they aren't as great a shooting team as past, especially after losing, you know, Jared Harper, Bryce Brown, Chimu Okeke to the draft. But they're playing. They're finding different ways to win, and that's going to be tough. And looking forward to the game on Wednesday against Alabama. You know, I'm looking inside. I'm scared to death. I'm so scared. I'm scared to death that Austin Wiley is going to score 50 points in the first half. In the first half.
Well,
I am so scared.
The good news is that we have been shockingly good against teams that have
size
inside on the interior.
Perennial size, like talented stars down low.
Yes, and that's one of the big keys for us. But I think for Auburn, the big factor for them is going to be Isaac Okoro. He's been a revelation this year. Freshman came in. We knew that he was going to be a good player, but I don't think anyone predicted that he would have this much success so early on for Auburn and really playing at a great level. And when they need a play, he's willing and wants to be the guy who goes out and makes it for this team. And Trevin, you brought up earlier your frustration that they keep moving up in the polls, because they haven't lost.
It's hard to argue with it.
Here's why: this season in college basketball, I'm going to come out and say it's not good this year. College basketball has not been good.
And here's the thing: I want to talk about this right quick. Then we get back
it's
to the Auburn.
No, I changed it. It's a different type of good.
Well, there's parity, but these teams that are supposed to be so talented that have the players on them are not performing up to standards. Washington has two guys from the top 10. Jaden McDaniels and Isaiah Stewart are both first-round projected talent players. Quade Green is a top-tier transfer guard, and yet they're outside the top 25. I mean, we've seen teams all over like this that just are not living up to the expectations. And that's why you see San Diego State in the top 10 at 16-0. You see Auburn in the top 4 at 15-0. It's because when a team hasn't lost, and I ran into this earlier in the season, I do a top 25 rankings, and I moved Arkansas to, like, I think it was 25th, because I was like, you know, they're winning all their games. They haven't played any big opponents, but I think they have a talented roster, and I think they are an NCAA tournament team. I'll give them a shot, put them at 25. Well, after a couple weeks, they were sitting at 18, 17. And I didn't want to move them that high, but when I'm looking at things, I can't justify not moving them up when everyone above them is losing. And that's what I think has happened with Auburn and even more with San Diego State throughout this season so far. But let's get back to the game and the matchup. I think that the key is going to be the energy defensively for Alabama. Mm-hmm. I think that's huge. I think when we've come out, and I think that's why we're so good at home.
Mm-hmm.
This team feeds off the student section. Mm-hmm. It feeds off the crowd. When Beadle Bolden gets going, he starts getting into it with the crowd.
He might be my most important person.
He slapped the floor against Mississippi State. I loved it.
Oh, yeah.
I loved it.
Bolden might be my most important person.
Well, when he gets going, Herb Jones hits another level.
Herb Jones, who I think is playing his best basketball of his career right now, as far as being like playing, like take away what his performance against Kentucky.
Yeah, I could deal with less shots.
Even in Kentucky, he still dropped 20 because
he did what he had to do.
Yeah, and you know I think he's playing his best basketball of his career right now, just being instinctive on the floor, having great hands, knowing what to do with the ball. He's playing some really good basketball. But guys, real quick, the game this week, Wednesday against Auburn, we're gonna have a student report here. It's a hard hat game. For those, we're a podcast, so you can't see it, but here in the
we'll have a picture up later.
We'll
later
put a
on
picture
tonight.
Up. We talked about a while ago. We're all wearing our hard hats. Wearing the hard hats here. Everybody, knock on the hard hat. We're here in the studio. I've got some audio here. I got some sound here from Crimson Chaos on Twitter. Let's take a look at listen to it. It's we got John Petty in the practice gym. He's looking at the camera. He has a hard hat on and a crimson shirt. Let's see what he's got to say.
We need all the students out Wednesday for the Auburn game. We're giving our hard hats, and make sure you wear your crimson. Roll Tide.
All right, you heard him right there. We've got all of them. Very good.
You heard him right there. Technical difficulties. So, but yeah, you heard John Petty.
You heard John Petty. This is a big game. Like, if you're a student listening to this podcast right now, you've got to be at this game Wednesday. You've got to be wearing crimson. And you've got to be there to get your hard hat. Because this is as big as it gets for us this year. It's our biggest game of the year as far as a team. I don't think it's our biggest home game. I think LSU on the Saturday is our biggest home game.
LSU, I'm ready for them too.
That's going to be
me and Trenton have some words.
That's going to be a fun game.
And if you're not a student, you still got to come out. We're looking for a sellout.
That's right.
That's the goal here. We want to sell out Coleman Coliseum.
In my opinion, I've been here at this university for 5 years. I'm a fifth-year senior, making my victory lap. All right.
Proud of you.
Thank you. All right. So there have been four games in my entire life where I'm just like, where I've just sat there and was just like, wow. All right, my first year, freshman year, we had a game against Texas A&M, Randall Boshan, first ranked win in Avery Johnson's
tenure.
Texas
A&M was fifth in the country, I believe.
It was either fifth or 15, but I remember the five, yeah. I remember the five there. That arena was electric, and it was hilarious because—
Won by 20-something.
No, it was not.
Am I thinking of
It's a different game because I remember that game like clear the back of my hand because Texas A&M went to the line to ice the game with the best free throw shooter in the country and he bricked both of them. And we won the game by 3 points. It was great. There's that game. There was Trae Young against Colin Sexton.
Oh, the whiteout.
The whiteout. Electric.
I'll maintain this. I've said it before. It's the best basketball environment I've been in.
And the bird masks, too.
Oh, they were good. Those guys were great.
All right. And then there's also when Ben Simmons came into Coleman Coliseum. LSU was terrible, but the crowd was electric because it was Ben Simmons predicted number one, even though he was playing power forward. Okay.
Ben Simmons played every position for that team, let's be honest.
He didn't go to class, he was in the gym.
Johnny Jones used him like a pack.
As much as he wasn't in class, he could have made a shot. Anyways, and then the next one I would have to say was the first half of the Auburn game last year that was in Coleman Coliseum.
It was the fun half.
And I predict this one will eclipse all of them.
I feel like this is
wow.
Like I think it's that serious.
Like this is now, guys. Listen, Alabama's playing their.
Shout out Kentucky! Kentucky, when we beat them at home,
that was good. Alabama, I think, is playing their best basketball of the year. Auburn undefeated coming in, 15 wins. Now, if I remember correctly, 2018, the Colin Sexton year, Colin Sexton didn't play that game, but John Petty scored 29 points.
Yes.
And beat Auburn, that upstart Auburn team that had won 14 games in a row coming into Coleman Coliseum.
Yes, they had.
And guys, Alabama's playing their best game, their best basketball of the year. Auburn's undefeated again coming into Coleman, or they're on a substantial win streak. So you know what that means. Something's got to give.
I'm excited for this matchup. I think let's all give – who's the most important player for
Bolden.
In this game?
Bolden. I know it's a shocker, right?
Mm-hmm.
I know it's a shocker. I'm saying Bolden because – when he is shooting lights out, especially coming off the bench, it's a spark that we really need. When he comes off, I know Petty is going to shoot great because he's at Coleman. I'm not worried about that. I know Kyra is going to give me at least 10, 5, and 5. I'm not really worried about Kyra. I know Herb is going to play great defense. I know Reese is going to stretch the floor. He's apparently decided to be a defensive jumper now.
Jump with anybody.
Right? Yeah. So, outside of Javian, guarding Austin Wiley, Beadle Bolden is probably the next most important person. I'm not really worried about Shackelford. I think he's going to make his shots. But Bolden brings that defensive energy that we definitely need because Herb can't hold that load by himself.
Yeah. When I think about
just be a gnat, be on them all night.
Very good. When I think about this team, I've said it before, this team comes and goes as John Petty plays. Right. You know, if John Petty has a bad night, we're typically not going to play that well because we rely so much on him offensively. But you've looked the past couple games, how many players we've had in scoring in double digits this past month or so.
Yeah.
I still say the same thing. Like if John Petty has a great game, if he plays, you know 19 points a game, we're probably going to win.
And I think this needs to be the Kyra Lewis game. I think he's gotten some hype around the NBA.
Yeah.
He's gotten some scouts in the gym.
Yeah.
And it's time to turn it up a notch. It's time to really show them why you deserve to go first round.
The Kentucky game was game one for him. I think he has three other regular season chances. This is number two, K-State's number three, and then LSU's number four.
Yeah.
Yep.
I think those are the four most important games for Kyra, for anybody playing Alabama basketball for their draft stock. Those are the four most important games.
Yeah, I think that's true. And that concludes our preview of the Alabama-Auburn matchup this Wednesday. Be sure to be there. 7 o'clock tip-off?
8 o'clock tip-off.
8 o'clock tip-off.
The doors are going to open at 6:30.
I hate Auburn.
Rightfully so. If you're a student listening before the game, you got to get there.
Get there at 5:30.
You got to get there at least
in line early. If you want a hard hat,
they do shut down the student section. So don't think that just because you'll show up that you'll have a seat. They do actually stop letting students in when it reaches.
You got to get there.
We're looking for a sellout. Hope everyone's there. Hope to see everyone there. We'll all be there, I'm sure. This is the Bama Baseline Podcast. Thanks for listening.
I hate Auburn.